It's tabletop time.
I'm Jen.
I'm Jazza.
I'm Rob.
I'm Dave.
This campaign is brought to you by our friends World Anvil. World Anvil is the ultimate world-building website. So if you're making a campaign, or even if you're writing stories, go check out World Anvil. Go to worldanvil.com/ironspire to get 40% off of all of their year-round plans, every single tier, which is their highest level of discount. Go check it out. You will not regret it. I signed up and kept upping my subscription because I loved all of the features and they go so deep and I really wanted to sink my teeth into it, which, of course, you can experience when you go to the Sunder page, which you can go to by going to itstabletoptime.com/Sunder, where you have our codecs and timelines and interactive maps. Oh my God, guys, check this out. Check out this map. So we've been journeying through Great Ale. We started up here in Felton. Our party had traveled over one long day all the way to Fellbrook, and they are now leaving Fellbrook in the evening. Or afternoon. It's like it's sort of like past midday on their way to Ironeye. So I don't know that they'll get there in one day, but we'll see how the story plays out. But you can check out the interactive maps. It has it subdivided into regions and even resources. It was really fun to put together. And there's a world map, which is really fun for me to see and to share with you guys. So you can get a context of the whole world that I've built, and you can build your own. Huge thank you to World Anvil for sponsoring this this campaign. So in telling our story, we're up to chapter 6. We've just completed, I'd say, a pretty nice little first arc, as a result of which, in the last episode, you all got a destiny point. At the start of this episode, you all get to spend a skill point. Actually, caveat to that, Dave, I'm going to assign you a skill point. Jen and Rob, you both get to spend a skill point.
Heck yeah.
I'll explain in a moment. But let's talk through your thinking first. Dave, let's just get yours out of the way.
Fishing.
You have a skill point assigned to mysterious vocation. You have 1 point in mysterious vocation.
I mean, that can only be good, right? I can't think of any. Okay.
Leave your guesses in the comments as to what that's all
Dalvin
about.
Dalvin has mysterious vocation.
Interesting.
Hmm.
Oh, you guess the power of drinking piss all night.
You have the iron stomach.
Iron guts.
Yeah.
So, Jen and Rob, what are you thinking for your little level up?
So, I have -1 in survival, endurance, and athletics. I would like for one of those not to be -1, I think, and be just a normal roll.
I think any of those would make sense for the sort of journeying you've done. You've already been trudging through the bush and carrying a load and, you know, doing a lot more than you usually do. Usually you're escorted and things are handled for you. So where would you like to put that?
I'm thinking not athletics. I'm thinking either survival or endurance. Probably endurance because I feel like we've been traveling. So
great.
That makes more sense than
been pushing survival. Yourself.
Yeah. So I'm going to make that a 0 so then Fantastic. I don't have to take a minus on it.
Brilliant. Rob, what are you feeling? What's brick?
In my pursuit of being a good bodyguard, I would like to think from a story point of view, him being on guard, especially with the untimely demise of the rest of the Phalangal guards, he would want to be even more on edge and more perceptive. So I like to think perception is a good one to add it into.
I think so too. I think that's a good point. Yeah. So you're going to put it into like a combat thing or like, and I might have like back and forth with you on that a little bit, but I think perception is a great one. You've definitely been role playing heavily. Like
I want to be.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You've been really on guard through the whole.
If I'd done more combat, I'd probably argue for that, but all he's done is kill a wolf and do a carter.
Like, yeah. And I think if you did more carters, if that's something you were going for. Yeah.
Yeah. I think that would.
I love the, I love the negotiation of where like that. It's not, in terms of D&D, you can't just be like, oh, I'm going to put a skill point whatever the hell I want. Mm. It's like got to make sense in the context of the role play we've had so far, which has been really substantial. I feel like we're building characters, which is really fun.
Yeah, I agreed.
Yay! I'm excited. Who's excited? I'm excited.
Yes. I'm always a little nervous because I'm just like, don't know what to expect.
I don't know. I'm mixed.
Good.
Because I am no longer better at fishing.
Oh, and Catalina spent 2 of her 3 mana points in one go.
Yeah.
Which I think was a fun exercise because magic has already been quite powerful, but it was a good example of like you go in there to go do something and you still did it, but you, without spending a destiny point, you would have lost all your magic in one go.
Yep.
So it's also a little fragile in that way.
Mm-hmm.
And you're actually a very adept magic user in terms of your skill point allocation from your character build. You're quite skilled there.
Correct.
But that can become irrelevant if you roll bad.
Yep.
Just
like any... Exactly. Any chance that anyone takes, it's completely fine.
Good fun. Yeah.
Can you, by any chance, start the World Anvil session?
That's a great idea. I had it prepared. You'll notice that.
I appreciate
it. I did see the thing. I was like, oh, that's cool.
Yeah, start session.
You added a new character as a supporting cast. I don't know if you noticed that.
Oh, that might have been an accident. Don't look.
No, we already know who it is. We've met him. It's the Count Kale, the town guard.
Oh, okay.
Cool. Yeah, but he actually popped up as a supporting character, which I thought was kind of cool.
That is cool.
Yeah.
All right. So, we pick up where we left off.
Who the hell is Kale?
The Lieutenant Kale.
No, Kale was the innkeeper.
Oh. I'm pretty sure I just read that he was a town guard. Let me go back.
Stop reading it. We'll look at it later. I'll look at it with you later.
It's
secrets, yeah. I'm just not being good at hiding stuff. So, we pick up where we left off in the last chapter.
Hale, sorry.
Shh. Stay on track. You keep distracting.
Stop.
We're walking out of town. It is, I'm going to say it's like 12:30, 1 o'clock. So, you had a breakfast. Delvin's got a packed baggie but hasn't eaten yet. And everyone's leaving. After subtly, whether intentionally or not, stirring up revolution in the town. You're at the edge of town and walking out. I'm going to fast-track a few hours at the start of the journey just to get the ball rolling, but there are a couple of things that have happened that are just worth noting. The first fairly noticeable one is to one of you, is as you're walking...
Stop breathing in the microphone.
As you walk out of town and you're right at the edge of town, you know, near the gates and about to walk out, Delvin hears a voice, almost audibly, that says, I'm keeping my eyes on you, Baron.
I dart around to see if I can spot anyone.
Perception check. I'm going to say challenge level 4.
All right. Well, I am going to say I have no idea what my perception is, so I'll just bloody find my bloody sheet.
Thanks, World Anvil. Keeping players.
Love it. Fail.
Three successes.
You get a destiny point, right? You're tempted.
Yeah, I'm going to destiny.
It's out of the ordinary, yeah.
Yep.
You don't see anything. And as you're walking town, you shake it off, but then something irks at you. Someone spoke to you and you don't like being off your guard like that, I'm assuming. I don't want to speak for your character.
No, I don't. It's weird. No one talks to me like that.
You look back again, and at first you thought it was your imagination, but then you see the silhouette in a window at the edge of town. Three-story building. It's the other quite lavish inn, the more fancy inn in one of the top stories. There's a silhouetted figure in the top story. You don't know if it's connected, but something tells you it is.
Yeah.
That's it. That's what you notice.
All right. I'm going to set the building on fire. No, I don't do that. Okay.
So you all leave town, but that lingers with you and no one else heard it. You might have asked if anyone else heard that, but they didn't. Otherwise, you know, about 20, 30 minutes outside of town, you pass Lernan and Eden's house, who you'd met the day before. They're actually packing up and almost heading off. Accompanied by a merchant who Dave was familiar with. You'd probably check in and have a brief chat. Let's role play that. Let's do it. You show up. There's a cart loaded up. On it, loaded up with lots of all their linens and all that stuff and lying down. A little less frail than last time is the mother on the back of the cart. And Lern and Eden have their spirits seemingly raised a little bit. And leaning at the front of them is Finian Cobb. A linen trader who actually, I guess, has supplied a few extra comfortable things for her to lay her head on. Who looks at you and goes, all right, got these ones handled to get up to the barrels like we planned. Thanks for loaning the purse and all that.
Thank you for doing the favor. I'll make sure it comes back to you, mate.
He winks, nods.
Yep. Return the gesture. And I guess, how are you holding up to the family? Not to him.
We're a bit shaken, to be honest. Never experienced anything like this before, but we've been exploring his skills. He seems quite drained at this point. He can't do it again, but he tried what he did on this lady, on his ma'am, and it lifted her spirits. We're hopeful. He could learn to use it. He's talking in a very like low voice to not be overheard. Thank you.
Well, keep it quiet and keep it out of the hands of the king. And don't, don't overdo it. Let the boy rest.
What are you aiming at? Stopping us on the way to the conscription. What's your plan? You're heading somewhere. How can we work against this King of Flames?
By keeping your talents away from him for now. I wouldn't be putting your boy up for anything yet, but I think, well, you heard what happened in town last night, didn't you? The old fortune teller.
Sorry, what? No, we were packing all morning.
Well, I think she didn't want to go with the king, and now she's dead.
Not old Elspeth.
So I guess my intuition was right then, that it's made to look like a choice, but it ain't a choice. Mm. I think your boy would have been in for, well, a horrible life if he went. For a couple of nights' feast and some coin for you. But I don't trust it. Any king who's willing to burn down a town of innocent people for the sake of his claim for power isn't the sort who's going to then welcome you in and give you a pat on the back and all that.
Well said. It's been an honor.
I'm sure I'll meet you again, mate.
I have a feeling.
Best of luck.
His hand,
I shake it.
And they load up. Anyone else have anything they observe or add at that point?
Not related to the roleplay. He's heading to the Barrows, which is north, and we're heading to a town that's south.
Yeah, they'll be following the same path, but they'll be lagging behind.
Okay.
Because they've got a cart and they're not finished loading up yet.
Heading in different directions.
No, they're actually going to be going through Ironeye to go north.
Okay.
So, yeah, the path through Felton is no longer a viable one, and the forest is too dangerous to travel.
Yeah, that makes sense.
You suspect they may not be leaving today. I had obviously frantically put the mother in the cart. Maybe they were testing the comfort level of the vehicle. But it is too late in the day for them to have travelled. So you just happen to have passed by them. Moving on from my plot hole. Okay, you said about your journey. I'm actually going to get you, Delvin, to roll 1d6. I'm going to get you to make your first mysterious vocation check.
Wow, I bet you I rolled a 4.
It's a success.
Hooray.
As you journey.
Cool.
All will be revealed.
I stroke my chin.
Something feels different. So you're all journeying. Medela seems pretty reserved, to be honest. She was quite shocked about everything that's happened, so she's keeping very close to Brick. Meanwhile, Catalina and Delvin, moving on ahead, you're a little lighter on your supplies than you were heading to Felton, so you're not super well equipped. But something feels different to Delvin about Catalina. Like there's something about Catalina that he hadn't noticed yet, but it's nothing he could describe. It's just a feeling, like a presence or a substance that he never noticed before, but hasn't really noticed anything in this way before. That's it. That's all I can describe it as.
Okay.
And it's fleeting. It's not like you have a grasp on it, or once you've noticed it, it's there always. It's just like something strikes you, and every now and then it sort of flickers past your feeling of attention, but you don't know what that is. It's just very distant.
Interesting.
What does Delvin process that as?
Honestly, the way you describe it, probably confused feelings. that's probably the thing that strikes me, like a couple of uncomfortable glances towards Catalina as she's walking, and then a couple of glances down as she's walking away, and then a couple of glances back, and then like a no, don't get distracted. Like if he's feeling a sense that there's like something that's drawing his attention to her, that's probably more akin to thinking that he might be like finding her more interesting than he should.
Maybe, yeah.
In a compelling way. But he's confused. It's like that is puppy love.
Attraction?
Yeah. Why do I keep, like, no, stop. Like, why do I keep looking at her? Like, what's drawing me to you?
Yeah.
Hmm.
It's like she got a new haircut, or there's something about her you can't quite put your finger on, but you don't, yeah.
It's like there's five, the way I'm thinking of it is there's like five beautiful people in a line, and yet for some reason he keeps looking at one of them. Like that's the thing. That's why he's like,
flattered you think Brick is beautiful.
Well, you know. yeah.
Okay.
Okay.
Great.
I'm going to make a bit of a destiny roll just for your journeying. It has been brought to our attention in the comments that we need to read the roll outcomes. 14. And they also asked what to expect when it comes to the rolls. 1 is very bad for the players. 20 is very good for the players. 10 is neutral. So 14, you have a fairly uninterrupted journey. The sun starts to sort of get low. A conversation has been mild along the way. Medela's been pretty reserved and quiet. She keeps sort of, whenever she seems tempted to move into a little more of a childlike state, it's like the world corrects her and puts her back in her place where she acts a little too grown up for her age. And you, I guess, maybe more attuned to her as a person now. What does Brick think of that sort of?
I think if there's no like incoming dangers from a physical sense, but I can probably sense she's a little bit off, I would probably, or Brick, I would try and act more in line with what her expectation of a Phelan Cool is, just to try and provide strength of familiarity, I guess. Yeah.
Great.
So maybe walking in step a bit more.
Yeah.
I don't know. You know.
You definitely get the feeling that whenever you do that, whenever you sort of harken back to home behavior, she is closer to you.
Yeah.
Like physically and sort of in her attitude, she definitely misses home, and you're the only part of that she's got.
Yeah, and I think I would be, you know, hopefully perceptive enough to notice that, and then again fall in line with what the traditional faithful training would be.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
awesome. So it is now afternoon. Everyone just sort of passes the time as they do as they travel. But now that it's expected that the sun is going to get lower soonish, conversation might soon start to turn to what to do about setting up camp if it weren't for the fact that up ahead you can see off in the distance a bit of commotion. There seems to be a group of people off to the side of the road by about, I'm going to say 30 metres, not quite at the edge of the forest, but there's a group of people that don't look like militiamen or guardsmen or anything, but there's about 4 or 5 large men holding a cage, and everyone roll a perception.
Please don't be a person in that cage. 4 successes.
One, two,
smashed three, it.
Four.
Crushed it.
Six. 6 for Catalina, 4 for Delvin. Fuck.
She can see an ant, like, going on a first date with another ant. When Catalina looks at a bee, she sees Jerry Seinfeld. Like, she sees that detail in the bee that we don't
What's
see.
What's the deal with Iron Spire?
It sees the little face and the antennas.
I'd watch that stand up. All of you had noticed in the last hour or so off in the distance, high in the sky there has been some sort of bird circling. Not above you, but further afield. Turns out at about where you are, you can tell it's sort of above where this happenstance is occurring.
It's like carrion?
You don't know, but Catalina recognises it as some sort of falcon, sort of...
it's like a hunting.
Yeah, definitely a more of a predator bird than a carrion sort of bird.
Mm-hmm.
And it seems distressed, seems panicking.
Okay.
I'm going to let all your perception rolls now also apply to what you observe up ahead. Mm-hmm. I'm going to say that, Catalina, that sort of had you a bit curious and a little more observant. And as you look ahead, you will notice that there is a young adult girl sort of screaming at these men who are holding this cage, which seems to have sort of some sort of creature inside of it. And they're sort of shooing her off and trying to, you know, tell her to go away, but she is distraught and trying to, almost trying to pick a fight, but knows that that's going to end badly. That's all you observe. And this is quite too far away to do anything yet.
Yeah. The men holding the cage, are they just like ordinary people or are they?
Yeah, they look just like townsfolk, but like big, mm-hmm. like they're part of the local, I don't know, what's the equivalent of rugby in medieval days? Log throwing club.
I'm going to say that with
what was
the.
That?
Stone lifting, whatever that stuff
the
is.
The Goliath football yeah. game that they play where they throw. Yeah.
Oh. I'm going to say that with the past events that's happened and the fact that Catalina's a bit low on mana, she's a bit shaken. So yeah. she doesn't have the confidence that she had before because what happened before was quite. It's yeah. not used to that sort of situation. So I'm going to turn to Brick and say. Do you see them up ahead?
Did I?
You do.
Yes. Yes, I do.
Do you think we should do something?
At this point, they are not a threat to us. I think we shall wait and see, but I will be on guard.
So you forge on ahead.
Keep on walking.
As you get closer, this girl is screaming.
Let you go, you awful creatures! What? How dare you? You don't know what you're dealing with! And they're like, oh, the bounty on this one's going to be real high. Silly little cat's going to have a problem now.
And you notice inside it's like a mountain lion, like a... You haven't... They're more of a rare creature, but you know they're probably like from deep within the forest. And she's super, super distressed. Delvin, roll one dice, please.
Come on, high.
Okay.
No. He rolled a two. That's a fail.
You notice something about her that is a similar feeling that you had about Catalina, which makes it all of a sudden like, oh, well, hang on. Maybe it's not just an immediate attraction I had or whatever it
yeah,
is.
Yeah, yeah.
There's something interesting that immediately grabs your attention. Yes, ish. It depends on your flavour, but let me introduce you because I actually
maybe
have
Delvin's...
a portrait. Here you go.
Yeah, definitely.
This is...
She's awesome!
Our character.
I found a new crush.
We have the coolest artist.
We do.
No offense.
Delvin's like, I don't know, you guys. I think we should help.
I like my girls tough and I just found one tougher.
So you can see her. She's holding a machete. And a dagger in the other hand, and on the ground seems to be a broken bow, like quite a large one, 100-pound-ish mm-hmm. bow, that has been broken. And she seems furious about quite a number of things, but she is fighting to get to her cat. But you hear these men sort of saying, oh, magic goes for a high price these days and your cat's quite the special one. And they're like laughing and they're like, I wonder if we get the price if we just provide the skin. I wonder if it comes with the same talent. They're like laughing. But that catches your attention, I'm assuming,
yeah.
because they're essentially trying to deliver, like they're stealing this creature that seems, obviously this girl is very attached to.
All right. Well, I mean, at what point do we get within talking?
I'd say at this point, you're coming parallel to where they are. So you could certainly, like, one of them notices you in turn, just like, don't mind us. Just cleaning up the jungle. Yeah.
Well, hello, mates. How are you doing? Are they grating or barrowing or what?
Oh, a mix.
Mix?
Yeah.
Do they just look like regular folk?
Just regular folk.
Well, what's going on here then?
Mind your own business. We're already splitting the bounty four ways, and I don't want you interrupting our... As you can imagine, this one's hard to trap down, let alone move.
My man, you're the one that caught it. I've got no claim to your bounty.
Well,
Go on, then.
I heard you say magic. What's going on? Frightful stuff with that lately.
He looks at you like, really? You're going to stop and talk and chat right now? We're dealing with stuff. And he just turns back. It's like, all right. And they all hoist up this cage. This mountain lion inside is like getting pretty frantic. And at this point, this girl is like holding onto the bars and being dragged. And one of them just boots her. And she like falls to the ground and she starts starts crying. She's really upset, but really cross. She looks like early 20s, okay. Maybe somewhere between 19 and 22.
How does Catalina react to that?
Catalina is going to get in front of them, or get in front of the girl, and then turn to the men and say, drop the cage. Let it go. Turn around now.
She says that to the men?
No, nothing fancy, just straight out words.
They ignore you and they start walking off. Perception. Roll perception, everyone.
Two successes. I'm actually going to be paying attention to the girl on the ground.
Was the weird feeling from the cat or the girl?
Six. You got six? Mm-hmm. Okay.
God, you're perceptive.
I told you
The feeling you got was
five.
I'm going to say you don't know.
Okay,
it's from that the direction. The duo.
Yep,
but I did fail. But you catch her eye.
Okay.
The fail was like more that you can't make that roll now.
Oh, okay.
So, in fact, I will say as you noticed.
I feel like it's gone.
You feel like you, yeah, you no longer notice it in either of them. The fleeting feeling is gone, but you also feel a little empty somehow in a different way than you felt before.
Well, I'm just going to continue to
mentally
associate.
Maybe breakfast was just really sitting
with. Well, I'm just going to keep associating him.
Yeah, of course.
That makes sense. So I now associate the fact that I felt that way. It felt weird and then violent, bad things happened and now the feeling's gone. So I don't like what's happening. I want that to stop. I feel empty while this girl is having her thing taken from her.
Yeah.
Which means that Delvin suddenly now wants to not make that thing be taken from her because Delvin doesn't like feeling empty because emptiness feels a lot like hunger.
It's true. That pit in your stomach feeling.
Do we want to go dice cam back again?
Okay, yes.
For dice cam.
Thank you. Okay, dice cam is back. So, yeah, sorry about that. So our rolls were two, six.
Five.
And five. Okay, I'm going to say, Delvin, that your attention is on this girl, but you don't notice her movements, maybe just through how she's positioned, but both Catalina and Brick notice her grab her machete in a very intentional way. She's looking ahead and she's about to charge. So that's what you notice. And do you do anything to interrupt that? Because... it's
I'm going to look at
happening imminently.
I'm going to look at Medela.
She looks at you, frightened, like, this is not our business. I don't know what... let's just go.
Very well.
And she starts, like, walking backwards. She just doesn't want confrontation.
I'm going to attempt to stop her, but I also don't want to at the same time because I kind of think they deserve it, but they also don't deserve to get killed. But yeah, I'm going to try and stop her. Let's try and grapple her.
You're going to grapple her?
Yeah.
Okay, cool. Let's see how this goes. Okay, this will be a pre... If it doesn't turn into combat after...
I'm guessing after that moment, that's probably enough for me to notice that something's happening, right?
Yes.
Once this has happened.
Well, the first thing you will notice will be Catalina's attempt to hold her back.
Yeah,
so then you'll probably compute that she was about to attack. Yeah. So let me just get her character sheet open. But if you want to roll your grapple check, and it'll be... actually... yeah, I'm going to do a grapple check as a challenge level because she's not expecting it. And I'm going to call it, because she's off guard and on the ground, challenge level two.
Okay.
You've got this.
A grip check.
Cool.
I love it when you into the mic.
Just one success. That's fine.
One success.
Yeah.
Okay.
So fail.
You reach out to grab her, but she is quick on her feet. And even though she's in a prone circumstance and doesn't expect you, you get the feeling like she is very capable when it comes to she just seems really wiry and athletic, completely slips through her grasp, and she launches ahead and attacks one of the men with a machete to the back of the neck. Oh, so gosh. Let's see how this plays out.
Do they have weapons, the dudes?
Yeah, they have sort of basic stuff, but they're just ignoring her like she's just some inconsequential, like, silly girl. They were more threatened feeling by this time.
Cat. If they've started combat, I just...
Combat is now combat.
There would be like physical discomfort from Brick, so he might be like really tightly gripping his body.
Yeah, I'm gonna give Lilith this character a free attack.
You won't believe what's gonna happen next from Delvin.
Okay, cool. I'm gonna give her a free attack. Okay. Her attack on this... this will just be any successes are a level of injury just because they're completely...
Three.
So, a serious machete to the neck. Probably hit an artery.
Probably.
Ouch.
Well,
maybe.
Serious injury.
Yeah. Like, it could...
So, he will die if he's not treated, but it's that an artery is fatal.
Yeah, okay. And but, you know, the version of... that attack, that would be a serious injury.
I shouldn't be the rules guy.
No, it's right.
Maybe he had some light armor on his neck or something.
Well, like a machete across the back of the shoulder and the neck, like that can sever muscle and tissue and be messed up.
Yeah, he is immediately, like the corner, there are four of them carrying this cage by the corners. One of the corners immediately drops and he falls to the ground, grabbing his neck, and the others immediately drop the other side. I'm going to destiny roll to see how well this cage holds together. 13. So it's...
Who's that in favor of?
I was rolling it for the NPCs carrying the cage.
Okay, yeah.
So I'm going to say it's holding together, but it doesn't look like a super... Like, it's metal, but it's like there's a big freaking mountain lion in it and, you know, it's being clanged about a bit. So it's verge. It could be broken quite easily. Okay, how does everyone react in this moment in time?
What's our reflexes? I've got one reflexes, so I'm going to be faster than Brick.
I got one.
Okay, no, okay.
I also have
one. So we're all a roll-off to see who decides what's happening first. I got a 2.
6.
A 6. So Brick and Cat react first. I declare first. You guys declare after me. Who's slower than us, though? Because they declare first.
Okay, this girl is... slower than you.
Mm-hmm.
So she will declare sooner, but she got a free round in.
Yep.
So it's our first round of combat, guys.
Yeah, wow.
It's our second round. If you include our episode 0.
I'm glad that I declare before.
Include our episode 0.
Well, then, yeah. So it should be us.
So in what's the order in terms of declaration from you guys? So who's the slowest?
I declare first.
Okay.
In this combat.
And then me and then Rob.
Delvin. Okay. Catalina.
Mm-hmm.
And...
Brick.
So these characters are all going to just be like average reflex, and one of them has a level 3 injury. I'm not going to roll for him. He is absenting himself from combat. He is like scrambling on the ground and crawling back. So there are 3 fairly burly fellas. One got a 6.
But they're going to be reflex 0, right?
Yeah. So
they're all before us.
I'm going to lump them all in together. There's no point. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay, we're all reflex 1.
3 dudes. Yep. That's the character. It's cool. 3 dudes.
3 dudes.
I'm excited. Heart rate's pumping. Let's freaking do this.
Okay.
All right. 3 dudes. They all drop the cage. The one closest to you is on the ground and scrambling backwards and in complete shock. Like it hasn't registered how serious what has happened might be. You know that thing of like you don't feel the pain until you see the blood and it's like, so he's sort of in that place where it's a place where it's computing. The other 3 draw. There's, I'm going to say 2 have swords and 1 has a bow on his back that is pulling off.
That means it's me, right? Oh, so they're drawing weapons and attacking.
Yeah, it's going to take this round for them to.
Yep.
I'm going to say the 2 sworded guys are going to go for this girl with the machete. So they're both immediately cornering on her. The one with the bow is actually looking to be pulling up and aiming further afield to be holding anyone else back so they can deal with this threat.
Okay. My immediate reaction, because I'm next, is Delvin sprints for the one with the bow and just says, Brick, Medela, I'm about to get very hurt, so I'm going to need a bodyguard. And then just runs up and just slugs a punch straight at the guy's nose. The guy with the bow is just like, shite, and just throws a punch.
Yes, I love it. Okay, continuing declarations, we have Catalina next.
I'm going to pull out my dagger and throw it at one of the guys, aiming for their arm or leg. Probably leg. Leg seems a bit easier than arm. But I imagine I pull out my dagger.
I mean, this girl could be the villain here. I'm just putting that out.
She could be.
This man could have been, like, married with kids or, like, just trying to protect his town.
I'm not killing him.
I'm just putting it out there. But anyway, sorry. You're throwing a dagger at the face of...
At the face?
The face?
Oh, is that
the
what you
leg?
Were...
No, the leg.
The leg. Oh, sorry. I was just amplifying that because this is fun. Leg dagger to sword person nearest.
Sure. Yeah.
Is that... I may not have computed what you said. Is that what you were doing?
Yes. Yes.
Yes.
Yes. Okay. Now you're making me regret my decision.
You did. No, it's okay. I was intending to make you question your decision.
Okay, yeah.
But that's what you're going for, the one nearest this girl. In the leg. In a non-lethal way. Like the Achilles heel, something. You're second guessing. Combat happens quick.
Who are you attacking and where?
Yeah, no, I stick by what I said.
Who are you attacking him?
Leg attack.
The nearest guy. That's,
okay, yeah. So you're throwing a dagger to the guy.
The sword
guy
drawn and ready to strike.
So throw?
Yeah,
Brick. In a moment, so we have Brick's declaration. You are the most competent combatant in this situation, the most tuned to react. You had gripped your Bardache and you know you could reach any one of them in this round of combat. What do you do?
Little one, what do I do?
Protect him! Pointing at
Delvin. I'm going to run forward.
You cheeky bastard.
I'm going to run forward and engage in combat, but as I'm moving, I'm going to
be like, please take cover behind the tree and yell if you need anything, mistress.
If I have time for a brief retort, I'm going to be like, try not to kill anyone!
Can I just say, I love that Delvin runs in like, protect me! Runs in to punch him in the face. Brick is going to get there first.
Because Delvin is smart and he knows the game that the Brick's rules. So he's like, the only way I'm going to break this Medela Brick, I don't know what to do thing is to just throw myself into danger.
Because
then Brick has already, Medela said, protect me first and then protect them as a standing order.
Yeah.
So if I'm at risk of danger, you're in, mate.
I love it. Okay. Yeah.
If that's the case, I'm going to come in there and I'm just going to go straight for the front two.
The front two, the sword people or the bow person at Delvin, who's Delvin's running at
punch. I'm faster, so I'll probably get there before
I would
even
say
gets
in
draw.
Your observation, the one who is the most immediate threat to any of your party is the bow person.
I'll go to the bow then.
Okay. Just thought I'd lay that out there because Delvin's running at the bow person. Bow person was aiming at it, looking at everyone else and obviously computing that and getting prepared for Delvin. So you run for the bow person.
I run for the bow person.
Okay. Now it's roll time. Let's start with Brick. It all happens at once. So
I would like to just bring like a massive overhead.
Yeah. I'm gonna give you a roll to sort of roll against. Bow person, I'm gonna give. Oof.
This is the thing.
It's declaration first, right? So he declared that he's watching you guys, and I'm gonna say he will have been aiming his bow at you, Delvin.
Okay.
So Delvin, so his shot will be at you.
How far away were we? And did we get up to him? We're faster.
You're close enough to sprint and get there in one round of combat. Because you were having a brief conversation. Like you were starting to interrupt and they were walking past with his cage.
Okay. So, yeah. He's going to suck. He gets negative... How many dice?
He's going to super suck.
Yeah.
Yeah, and he's like some average guy. He's got a bow, but he's sort of like close-ish combat.
Yeah, so as soon as he's in melee, he loses
3d6. Yeah, if he's got a base 3, even with a point into, I'm going to give him a one die.
Yeah.
And he fails. This is going to be brutal.
Rob, I said non-lethal. Did you?
Yeah, I said try not to kill anyone. You can go sideways. Bonk him. Well, you technically make the roll and then decide what you do.
I shouldn't influence players.
It's up to
Rob. This is far too much fun. So he...
All I heard was, Brick, get over here. I need protecting.
And then just then I said, just before... It's fine.
That conversation won't have taken place. He gets the computer how he computes.
Okay, it. No, that's fine. One, well, two, three, four successes. You can take that however you want, though.
You want to insta-kill or do you want to do something else?
I can't insta-kill him.
You can fatally injure him.
You can fatally injure him.
Yeah. But you can't.
Is five is an insta-kill?
Five is kill.
So he's got one to against, so I need a level 4 victory to kill him.
He got a success.
He'll be immediately incapacitated or unconscious. Yeah.
He would be dead.
He'll lose.
No. You got 4 successes, didn't you?
Yeah, but he got 0.
Yeah, so
he would die.
4 is an instant kill. 4 is a fatal injury.
Except that he also has no combat dice to roll with, so he'll also be unconscious. So it'll be like a mortal wound and unconscious immediately.
Yay. Oh, is an endurance check.
I'm making this
fuck
call.
That's fine.
Because he was aiming at you and freaking barter.
It's the same as the call of like if you take a serious injury, the character can choose to bow out of combat.
It's two levels.
Yeah.
I rolled a destiny roll on behalf of the NPC to figure out whether or not I heard Delvin's non-lethal command, and it rolled a fucking 10, which tells me nothing.
Make your choice. What does Brick do? What does Brick do? Don't take away the conversation.
He's gonna kill him.
Okay.
If you're in danger and my goal is to protect you, I will.
Here's I guess the only assessment is.
Brick
has
also been a part of situations where he wasn't there to protect people and the other people died.
Yeah. My position would be if you want to go from Brick's combat thing, the only deciding thing is a perception check of how much of a threat is he? Because he pulled a bow and basically half shot an arrow into the ground because he completely failed to be effectual with his bow. Delvrin's running up with a fist and you've got a massive bardachet. So for me, it's how much of a threat do you perceive him as a soldier and what level of action do you need to take to remove that threat?
See, I think
killing is fine if that's your choice.
I think I'm going to go with the kill.
Yeah, that's fine. Yeah. I'm completely behind that.
That's what you were trained for.
Yeah.
This is like your raising and breeding.
Level of threat doesn't come into it. It's a threat.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Plus Medela's there too as well. Like,
yeah.
And he's the one with the arrow. He's the one who could immediately cause the most damage at a distance.
Yeah.
So you're just taking out the threat.
Yeah. I'm down with it.
Yeah.
No issues.
Describe what happens. You launch forward.
The bardachet takes him like right on the side of the head, comes down. Takes his ear off and then sinks into his body.
You have slowly your bardachet in the middle of the torso of this man who's still, like, he drops his bow, but he's wedged and his eyes dart to you as they immediately, in shock, start to fade from consciousness.
Oh, dear.
Chazza.
And then
everything happens simultaneously. Yeah, go on.
And right as that happens,
you punch him in the face.
And that's a level 2 victory on him with my fist. The with killing my 4 dice.
I would say the bardachet through the whole torso is probably. But anyway.
Does his head, like, a little bit from the
foot? Do you know what I'm going to say is exactly what Rob described? Bardachet through to the torso, but is still like, you know that, like, you know the descriptions of where people get guillotined and like their eyes, but like they have that, there's some consciousness there until Delvin punches him in the face.
Can I make a perception?
That is like completely out. But it was just like, all at once.
I'm making a perception. 2 successes. I'm going to say that's pretty bad. In that brief moment, I just go, holy shit, as I punch him and his head like explodes into blood. I'm like, And before I realize that the bardachet came over the top.
I'm so powerful.
Catalina.
And then if possible to finish that off, I'd like to turn around and face the rest. Just like.
Yep. I'm going to let their combat play out, but then there will certainly be a recomputation in the next round of combat. Yep. So we have 2 swords people. We have this girl with a machete next to both of them. They are both attacking her. And then we have Catalina throwing a dagger. Mm-hmm. So we'll go for all of them at once. Swords people are going to have 4 dice each for their roll.
These poor untrained bastards.
You guys are evil.
It's pretty full on.
I just punched a guy.
It was already chopped in half.
I didn't, yeah, because that, my punch was, like, that fist was cocked. You can't unload the gun once you've pulled the trigger. And Delvin, there's a bit of weight behind that swing.
So to make it a little more justifiable, let's say you saw them, like, kick her in the face. Like, it was like, they're, you know, and this tiger's like, they're mean. And I'll make it feel a little better for you.
They deserve to get.
They're really, really mean. They seem really mean. They say some sort of, like, you know, slang words that are really insulting. So.
Okay. You now, schlimbo.
Yeah, there you go. All right. I'm going to roll the two NPCs first. Mm-hmm. Well, they're all NPCs, but one of them gets a 3 and the other one gets 4. I'm going to say the closest one to Lilith and yourself, Catalina, gets 4.
Mm-hmm.
So he's drawn. He was probably the leader of the group. And immediately starts swinging in a pretty competent way and noticing everything's happening around him, turning wild-eyed and pretty cross.
Is this the girl?
This is the girl. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5.
So she's not only defended, but she...
she's defended and held her own and staggers the more competent of the two. So he was getting some good swings in, but she's parrying, countering, and then hits his leg in a way that he sort of stumbles to one knee but is still holding his sword strong.
Mm-hmm.
Her role against the other character will just be fending him off, but she'll be focusing on the more competent one. Okay, Catalina, your role.
Sorry, throw or...?
You're throwing a dagger. So it'll be a... Yeah, that's an interesting one. It's a ranged attack, isn't it?
Mm.
So I'm going to get you to make a throw check. I'm going to say challenge level 3.
Yep.
Smashed it.
4.
And then a dagger check, combat check for that.
One, 2, 3.
Oh, my God.
6. I was going to say, if you want to simplify it for ranged combat, you could use the hardcore range, which is you set a challenge level. The hardcore
range rules is fucking great.
It's you set a challenge level and then the additional successes.
Still haven't read the hardcore rules of my own rules.
Here's the explanation for it. You set a challenge level. It's usually a lot higher than you'd expect. Sometimes it's like low as 3, but it can go up to like 6, 8, 10.
Yeah.
And then any successes over that is just injury.
Cool.
Because you can't deflect range. Like you can't stop an arrow.
Yeah.
Would it be like if you're targeting a specific place?
It's specifically for ghost defense rolls, basically.
Yeah. What do you choose to do with that very, very competent throw?
Yeah.
You have a clear shot as he stumbles to the ground and you could... You were aiming for the leg and you declared that.
I'm going to aim for his arm and try and see if I can get him to drop his weapon.
The problem is you declared.
You're already aiming at his leg.
Then, yeah, I stay.
But you can choose if it hits a vital artery or...
Oh, right.
So you could trip him, I think, with level 3.
Yeah, you could choose it to trip him or you could choose it to be a...
Yeah.
Pretty much a mortal injury where he won't be able to walk and he will bleed out very quickly.
I'm going to trip him.
I don't want to... Yeah, so you, like, throw a knife into his foot or his boot.
So he stumbles to one knee and... Yep. Right as he falls, his good leg, which he would put his weight on to stand up, a dagger just right into the shin through the fatty part of the muscle. He's not moving very quickly in the next round. I'm going to give him a -3 based on that because you didn't shoot. It's a serious injury and he will die.
You didn't want to give him serious injury, though.
I didn't. Well.
No, Jen didn't give him serious injury. She chose the trip result.
I'm going to give him a level 2 injury.
Why are you injuring him?
Because it's a dagger.
Yeah, you could throw it into his boot or something and, like, he sticks him in the ground and... Oh, you do you.
It's fine.
That's fine.
I'm happy to
kill these
leg.
People. I don't want to see any more death.
Hey, you're the one who dealt the death blow.
Covered in blood. Like,
I've seen too much.
The idea is I didn't want to hit him in the head
and kill
him, but, like, so, if it happens.
Let's put, like, a dagger through, like, his tendon on his... On his heel. Yeah, okay. Yeah,
great.
So he's down and he, like, looks shocked and looks across at you guys. Like, they're all just, like, immediately, like, we didn't expect this to happen with a group of travellers. Okay, the next round of combat kicks in. Same order, except that the declaration is that the only one who was uninjured is about to just drop and run.
Mm-hmm.
And the one on the ground, it's got minus two. Drops his sword to surrender.
Cool.
Being realistic here, I don't think he'd go in for a death blow knowing that, if he keeps going, is it?
What is...
They're there to be self-serving, and at this point in time, the self-servingness is going to be trying to keep alive, because one of their friends...
is dead.
Is dead. Another one will die if he doesn't get help immediately, because he's been shanked in the neck. Mm-hmm. And one of them is a total, total coward who's running away and abandoning him. Okay, so continuing declaration... This girl doesn't go. She doesn't seem to be going in for a killing blow, but she holds her. She goes to hold her machete up to his throat and pull his chin up. That's what she's doing. You don't think she's gonna kill him because she looks much more composed. It just looks like her intention was to, at all costs, stop them taking that cage.
Yeah, yeah.
So that's what she is doing, cool. Delvin.
Delvin sprints after the guy that's running and attempts to spear tackle him to the ground. Football player style.
Wow. Okay, cool.
Mm-hmm.
Spear tackle.
Plodding along.
All right. That'll be like a you'll roll off your athletics.
Yeah, sure.
Yeah. Cool. Catalina and Brick.
I'm just going to observe what she does because I've lost my weapon, so
yep.
I'm not going to fight.
Good throw, by the way. Very cool. Yeah. I think that, like, everyone would just be like, hang on a second, aren't you, like, an art trader?
I'd like to think that in my by bartering trading, you have people play cards as, like, their thing. Mine was dart throwing.
Ah, that's cool. So, I like that.
Yeah.
Brick, do you yank your bardache out of the torso of this man?
I thought I'd already done that.
You don't? Okay.
Yeah.
Pull it out. He's fallen to the ground in a
Well, I would like to do two things if possible. I would like to look towards Medela and make sure her hiding spot or whatever is...
I'm going to say that's a free action. You definitely check. She's safe. She is standing still, but she looks pretty shocked. Go on.
So one's dead, one's down.
Mm-hmm.
One is currently has a sword to his throat and one's running away.
Yep.
I'm going to follow Delvin and try and take him out as well.
Okay.
Cool.
Actually,
cool.
How far away is he? I'd be curious. What if I was to throw my bardache at him?
Just javelin toss.
Like, is it likely?
Are you going to javelin your bardache? I hope that happens again. Delvin gets there.
Spear tackles as
if that's what you want to do, just go for it.
I don't want to waste an action, is my thought. Like, Rick is smart enough in combat to know whether or not that's going to be useless. I know that sounds weird.
He'd only be like, he couldn't be more than 15-20 meters away.
You're going to javelin the bardache.
Yeah.
You need moments like this.
Yeah.
Okay, I'm going to say that's a throw challenge level 4 or 5.
Well, this is the thing, like,
unless you want to turn it into a ranged thing.
I'm going to say 5.
Now, does it come under throw or combat?
It'll be your combat roll, but I'm doing the throw check first.
Oh, God.
So the throw check is to see... Because you're not trained to throw a bardache like a javelin.
I would assume that would be in my training, to be honest.
I don't know that they're considered a spear,
it's,
sure.
It's not
a point.
The way it's weighted,
I mean, that's
to
true.
Do that effectively, get the momentum and actually have it
created. And what were you saying the challenge level is?
For 5.
Fuck that. No, I'm going to chase him. That's my entire throw. It's not super high. No, if it's 5, it's 5, and then that's fine. Like, as I said, he would know whether or not it's a useful action to undertake, whether or not
it's pretty much an impossible task, isn't
then,
it? And I think that's pretty much what 5
yeah,
is.
Yeah, so. No, I'm gonna chase him down and try and, like, take his leg off.
To spear someone with a bardache from a running distance is,
I'm going to chase after him and try and take his leg off.
All right, cool.
Can I do charge? Is that an option?
I think so, because he declared first, so yeah. I'm going to say, okay, if you succeed... In the athletics check, you're all going to roll an athletics check. If you're the most successful, I'm going to say you get the bonus of a charge.
Okay.
Okay, athletics roll off. Athletics. I'm going to go for this guy. He gets 2.
Oh, yeah. Well, take at 1. Most 2.
Since when do we count out of the bucket dice?
I'll take 1. It's fine. I don't know. It's the first time an out of the bucket dice has ever been counted.
You can re-roll it.
I would
still fail.
Still fail.
Always.
What did he roll? 2.
He got 2. You got 2.
Destiny.
Okay.
Jesus.
I want him.
Delphin starts panting after five steps.
I love Delphin's like, all right, I got this one. Brent just pelts past him, just like, oh, by the way, you feel the earth. Just as this giant man storms past you. There is something, a feeling about this of like stretching all your limbs to their full capacity that you haven't done in a long time. You know what I mean? Like that feeling like this is what you were born to do. As you storm ahead and you catch up to him and you get your action, that will count as having won the sprint. So I'm going to say yes, you do get the bonus of a charge. Does anyone know off the top of their head what that is?
Plus one dice.
Okay. One dice. Cool. Make your combat roll.
Does he get a defense roll?
No.
This guy is about to...
You're about to end this guy's whole career. His career of being alive. Yep.
Oh,
no.
Holy shit.
That is a three.
That's terrible. You got three, though. So you get him. You get him. You could trip him. You could cut a leg off. Dismember is one of them.
Oh, so that's level four for dismember.
Is it? With a destiny point. I'm going to say you could wedge it into one of his limbs.
Yeah, just straight through the leg and hold him in position.
Okay, you skewer the back of his hamstring. Just end of the barter shay. Like you're storming up like the biggest rugby player you've ever seen. And he completely just face plants into the dust of the road. Meanwhile, Catalina observes this girl holding the barnachet to this man's throat as she says, "All your friends are dead. Let Churl out or you die too." And stammering and shocked, he's like, all right, it's just a... He's struggling to compute what's just happened. They, as far as they were concerned, were just robbing some silly jungle girl of a magical cat. Mm. And he takes his sword and... he's dropped his sword. He fumbles about and drops the keys on the ground and reaches down and pulls them up out of the dust. I'm like, I'm going to destiny roll based on how he reacts to this dice. This dagger got a five. I was going to say he goes to pull it out and throw it back at you, or just to be undaggered. Uh-huh. And he touches it and just like crumples on the ground, like it just was. Far more connected and detached to tendons in a way that he was not prepared for. And he's curled on the ground, sort of twitching, like, not expecting that. He is the only one reasonably able to move and interact at this point, because Neckman is still, like, gasping. At this point, he's sort of, like, crawled a little bit away, but a trail of blood sort of following him as there's, like, some blood flowing out from his hand holding a wound.
All right. Can I act or?
Yeah, of course.
I will walk up to him and do I have like bandages or something in my bag?
I'm going to say you have some basic. Oh, look, okay. I might say that normally, but you actually got a pretty not great roll for how prepared you are. So I'm going to destiny roll for that specifically. Eight. No, you don't have any bandaging equipment. She, by the way, has grabbed the keys and she's already letting this tiger out.
That's fine. I'm going to take some of my, the robe that I'm wearing and just rip a bit of the end of it off and then go over to him.
Yep.
I'm going to rip the dagger out.
I'm going to destiny roll for how he reacts to that. Okay. He's not feeling good, but he's feeling like fractionally better than having the dagger in his leg.
Yeah. As soon as I rip it out, stop it
and
then kind of try and wrap it around. And I know that he probably can't walk, but oh well. So try and stop it from bleeding. I know it's probably not going to do an amazing job, but better than nothing. Wipe the dagger, stick it back where it belongs.
Off in the distance, there's this cloud of dust as this very large man, I'm assuming you pull your barter back.
Oh, I was going to pull it out and then grab him by the leg to staunch the bleeding as I drag him back.
Yep, cool. So you're doing that. So you see Brick dragging. You saw in the distance, like, him leg it and this giant just storm up behind him, deck him with a freaking huge, like, giant axe knife thing and just drag him back, holding him by the wound. Delvin, did you just sort of like run out of breath halfway through and just sort of saw that happen? And
yeah, I got halfway between and then did the classic like hands on and then like turned to the, after seeing the stabbing, I pay my attention back to the cat cage and hobble over there after my massive exertion.
Okay. All right. So this large mountain lion is released from this cage, and immediately this girl embraces it and starts like frantically like checking it, making sure it's not been harmed in any way. It doesn't seem to have been, but they've both been very worried. They seem really close in a way. You've never seen a person close with animals before, which is interesting. Mm-hmm. But yeah, so you bandage up this man's leg.
Mm-hmm.
He's stammering and it's like, fuck, I'm not going to get home, boy. You can see the sun is getting quite low and he's wounded and his friend is probably going to die overnight. It's like, oh, Gaz, you're not going to last the night with that wound. We were just collecting a bounty. He looks at you guys like insulted, like, and who even are you? You have anything to do with this crazy girl?
Mate, I don't want to hear your life story. And then I wander over to the girl. Not listening to his, not answering his question.
Yeah, I don't listen to him either. I ignore him.
She stands up and looks at you all, sort of realizing sort of everything that's taken place, computing a little bit, and as this tiger curls up behind her and she looks gratefully at you all, says,
I wasn't expecting company, but I must say I'm glad that you showed up when you did. I'm not sure I could have taken them on my own, and you're all quite competent, combatants. Where are you from?
She looks at you all like seeing a wide tapestry of origins.
I was just thinking, I would have just like, once I got to the group, I would have dropped the guy and then gone back to Medela. And if possible, I'd like to speak with her semi-privately.
Yeah. Medela looks pretty shaken, but as things are processing and as you approach her and you've dropped this man.
Yeah.
She seems immediately relieved and looks at you with a look of approval, nods.
Yeah.
Well done, Brick. You have protected me.
It is my honor, mistress. There is one issue.
What is that?
If we let these men go, they will surely report our party for what we have done today.
What were they doing?
It matters not. We are foreigners.
What are you insinuating?
We cannot let them leave.
Hmm. Yes, I hear where you're coming from. I think the wisdom of the other two would be required in such a decision, but there could be a way we could force it to be done without shedding more blood.
I do not trust these men, but we will see.
They will not harm us immediately. Unless I deem it that they would be a threat in future, do not harm them. In the meantime, we will see what conclusion can be made with the rest of the group.
Very well.
Cutting to the rest of the group. This girl introduces herself as Lilith. And it seems that they had intruded upon her home and taken this mountain lion.
I normally, I rarely visit the town. I get odd looks whenever I go in there. But I am required to every now and then to, you know, make ends meet. Otherwise I live off of the forest. But the bow is broken, so that will be harder now. I will need a new one. I didn't mean to interrupt your travels, but I did wonder, how did you come together? What is your purpose as a group?
I look over to
I've never seen a pack like this before.
I look over to the guy that Brick's just cut in half. Is his bow still okay?
It's on the ground, but it's not a good one.
It seems depends like if he was holding it while I hit him.
Yeah.
I'll go pick it up and give it to her. And it's better than nothing, I suppose.
She sighs. Sort of nods, but you can tell she's not going to accept this long term.
Yeah.
She's like, it is, it's getting late.
Do you have plans for where you will be spending the night? It can get dangerous in these parts.
Oh, yes, it seems to. And I gestured at all the dead people. We were just going to camp, I guess.
Hmm. There have been patrols, Graydon guards of various types, on the hunt and searching people. It seems they are looking for something of value. I've seen a few different groups get shaken down quite aggressively. Given how you respond to confrontation, it might be advised that you avoid the roads, but that is not my place.
What are your suggestion, then?
You could travel at night. It would be difficult, but you would be less vulnerable than camping. You could camp, but there come risks. You would need to keep watch. I could perhaps point out a few places that I think might work. If you wish, she looks hesitant and looks at Churl. And there's actually a pause. Everyone roll a perception check.
Two successes.
Just for the podcast listeners, I rolled two dice for Lilith. And they were both successes.
One, two, three successes.
Cool. What was yours, Del?
I got two because the Dave rule is I roll hot when I'm rolling for NPCs as a DM,
yeah,
but not PCs.
Yeah. What'd you? Okay. So two and two for the gentleman and three for Catalina. Both Brick and Delvin notice a seeming sort of like pause as if this girl is checking with, is it like something like almost like looking at and, I don't know, gauging the mountain lion's opinion for something. But Catalina hears like a slight growl, like there's almost like a purring, growly sound that she makes. You're closest to her. So mm-hmm. You actually hear like this, almost like she's whispering to this creature, and it, which it, you hear the mountain lion sort of communicate back. And she looks up and says, I could have you at my abode for one night if you can be trusted, but I do owe you at least that much. It's up to you. They are the three options that I can think of. That's not to say my place would be a lot safer, but at least I am familiar with it, so.
I think that would be great.
I'm kind of interested in finding out a little bit more about you, Lilith.
She looks at you like slightly taken aback. What do you think when you say that?
I think, like, I'm curious as to why I was so curious about her and her beast. I'm curious as to why I was compelled to, like, feel like I should help them. And I'm very curious as to why she has a lion thing. And what... It's more about exploring my feelings than... Yeah. That's it.
Okay. She rolls two dice and gets one success. She looks at you. She seems to read you briefly and looks less trusting of you and says, curiosity has gotten me and my kind in trouble before. She looks at the tiger. It seems like her kind seem to be creatures, which seems confirmed when a peregrine falcon comes in through, swooping down and lands on her arm. She's got a large glove on.
And Delvin retorts with, and my curiosity seems to have helped you out. And I gesture again to the bodies on the ground.
She doesn't respond. She seems to be making up her mind about you. Mm-hmm. But she looks at Catalina, says, if you watch your men, then I may watch over you for the night. Follow me. Don't lag behind. And she starts walking into the forest.
And we'll follow. I'll follow. Wishing me, you guys.
Yeah. What are we doing with the two dudes?
So, that's the question. She's just walking away. She's got her tiger. She's just walking away. So, what do you guys choose to do? Brick has just had this conversation with Medela. So, has been commanded not to hurt them, but is approaching now with Medela to the group to, I guess, decide what the step is as far as these people go, because that could become a problem.
I'm just going to follow Lilith.
So you just walk off?
Assuming you guys are following me.
So there's a brief moment where Brick and Delvin and Medela are together and you just opt out, basically. Mm-hmm. Does anyone say anything?
That's not my place. I raise my concerns.
Brick basically brings up the same concern.
Okay, I'm happy to say it again.
Yeah, go on.
Okay, yeah.
It's to different people. It's a different context.
We must decide what we do with these men. If we let them go, they will alert the Grey Guard and we will have them on our tail. We cannot leave them.
Are we within earshot of the conscious one?
He seems pretty distracted. I'm going to say no. He's tending to the only... Oh, actually, he's got two friends who are mortally wounded. and he's got a severely hurt ankle, so he won't be able to take them anywhere. Mm-hmm. But he's checking to see what state their health is in. It seems that, you know, they're a group. They've probably done stuff like this together in the past before. They don't seem like the savory type.
Hmm.
But he was the leader, and he's one is dead and two are dying.
Why?
Catalina's just gone. Sucks for you. Shouldn't have been a dick.
Did Medela say anything? Or is she just waiting for me to say something?
I'm going to say she's following Catalina.
Okay, so she walks off.
Yeah.
And I'm like, checking. I look around. No one else can hear. And I just look at Brick and say, you know what needs to be done, mate.
Very well. I will deal with this situation and catch up.
I walk over, I say, just a sec, and I walk over to the guy who's wounded, who's still looking after his people, and I pull out a flask of booze and hand it to him and then tap him on the shoulder and walk off towards the forest.
He like looks at it disbelievingly and looks up as it's all coming together, and
I'll wait till Delvin gets out of sight.
Out of sight?
Yeah, if he's walking into the forest, I'll let him walk into the forest and I'll just slowly clean my bardache while I wait for him to be gone.
Okay. You're going to finish off these people?
Yeah.
Okay. I'm going to roll a destiny roll.
It's okay.
12. All right. Medela doesn't directly observe anything.
Mm-hmm.
But this may come up again later. So.
Okay.
Cool.
Then I'll finish them off in the simplest way and then drag their remains.
Chop some heads off.
It's messy.
You leave it hanging by the spine.
Okay. But then I'm gonna drag their corpses in pretty far into the forest and trying to scuff up the dirt where we killed them so that any blood is kind of obscured.
Yeah. Do you have anything with the cage?
I drag anything that shows there was an encounter there, I'm going to try and cover up slightly.
Yeah. That's going to be pretty hard. There's a lot of blood.
Yeah, no, I figured.
Okay, yeah.
So there's
tackle marks and like scrapes and a cage and dragging. So, you know, there's been...
If you break the cage, anyone
remotely capable of tracking will easily be able to see something happened here and that's the direction it ended up in.
Oh, I'm going to drag the body to the other side of the road, not in the direction we're heading.
It's sort of more open fields, so...
If you... You could just pick up the bodies.
Yeah.
All four of them.
One at a time. If you smash the cage but leave the cage with the blood and stuff that you probably can't hide, it's going to look like an animal capture gone horribly wrong.
What do you do with four corpses and a large cage?
That's what you have to work with.
Yeah.
The world is your canvas.
Yeah. You've already started painting. Might as well finish it off.
I'd like to do whatever is going to reduce the chance of someone coming after us. So I'm going to try and hide the bodies wherever.
Make a survival check. Challenge level 4.
Yes.
Brick can do it.
Brick is known for his...
This is to be able to do it in a way that means people won't come across it who are competent at tracking or knowing.
What's my challenge level?
4.
You got this, mate.
Okay. So there is no way that brick can feasibly make this look like a clean place. Like, as far as, like, not having any clue that something has happened here.
I do the best that I can.
Great. Roll those 2 dice and let's see how
he did. He rolled 1 success.
I rolled 1 success.
1 success. Okay. Yeah. There is blood still all over the road. It's not loose gravel, so it's not going to be easy to cover up or clean up. And if you try and sprinkle dirt over or anything else, it would just look like you've sprinkled dirt over blood on the middle of the road.
Then leave the cage.
Like the cage in the middle covered in blood because several people were right near it when they were brutally hacked apart. Mm-hmm. And you've got 4 mostly beheaded...
As I said, I wouldn't want to behead them because I know I would leave
blood. No, okay, you can decide how you cleanly kill them. You did say that. What do you do with the bodies?
Oof. So there's no forest, it's open field.
There is on... So let's say you're on the road facing your journey. On the right, vastly open fields and stuff where, like, horses run and all that sort of thing. On the left is, like, a fairly dense, like, you know, a stone's throw away, there's a dense sort of forest that's starting.
And then I'm going to carry them to the forest.
Yeah. So but you go off the track from the others to find
a nice place to stash their corpse.
Stash the corpse. And let's see how you go with that. Yep, cool. You find like a nice little 15. Pit where there's a creek. It's sort of like this big dip in the thing. You sort of roll them down and kick some leaves and just deciduous residue over them and they end up reasonably covered fairly quickly using your giant bardache as a bit of a shovel and then you just wander off and find the others.
With the deed done, so once I know he's killed them, can I go back while he's finishing up the cleanup?
Yeah.
Okay. So I go to the corpse pile. Like I go back as he's getting the last body and like follow him over.
Leaves covering some 4 like lumps of people in the bottom of the creek.
I lean down and take my flask back. Is it empty?
He hadn't touched it.
I just take a swig from it, put the lid back on, and go, your choice, mate. And then I'm going to take any coin purses they have on them and just cut them with my fruit knife. All right,
let's, I'm going to destiny roll that. 11. You find a bit of coin. Nothing.
I'm assuming irrelevant to my wealth.
Yeah.
The point is I'm making it look like they got robbed.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Well, then... You can do that.
Yeah, fast. I just cut their purses off, take any jewelry off them, and then grab it and go.
So you both end up traveling back together and eventually catch up with the group.
Mm-hmm. Brick, best we keep the unsavory business to us, eh?
If you think that is best, yes.
I don't think Medela would want to know the particulars. And I think Catalina... very clearly made a choice that she wanted to walk away from the situation.
This is so fun. Okay, so you catch up to the group who are moving ahead. If you didn't have a guide, this would be nearly impossible. It seems that there is a trail, but only one it seems that Lilith can see. There's like some footholds and some trunks and stuff, but the forest is getting quite dense. And there's even a trap or two that she guides you around and sort of nods at. It's clear that she's set up. Mm-hmm. So this seems to be her territory. This is, I'm going to say, like, light is getting quite low, so it's getting very hard to see. So you're following in her footsteps, literally. Everyone's eventually caught up. Medela does turn to you and says, excuse me.
How did that go then? That seemed to take a while. What happened?
They will no longer be a trouble.
That doesn't answer my question.
I'd like to...
Do I she lie? Said what happened.
I killed them quickly and efficiently and hid their bodies. It was the best course of option to stop us from being followed or hunted.
She stops walking.
I'm going to lie immediately as I hear that.
He said it.
Yeah, I know. Okay. So I jump in with a... we tried to talk to them, Medela, but they went for a knife.
Roll deception.
6 successes.
Ooh, okay. 6
Beat successes. That, Medela.
Yeah, all right, let's see how this goes then. Let's find out her perception. Oh, well, she's got 5. So she doesn't seem to second guess your lie. She immediately seems taken aback, but still a bit confronted. But regardless, something very wrong has happened. You disobeyed an order.
No, I didn't.
She said to not harm them until...
Until we could discuss it with everyone else. They walked off, we spoke to Dalvin, Dalvin said do it. She and Catalina removed themselves from the conversation. The only one other person to have a conversation with was Dalvin.
I'm going to come into Brick's protection, and I glance at Brick with like a stern, like, don't fuck this up. And then I glance back at Medela, and continuing my lie, I say, they went for me and he protected me.
She takes a deep breath. There's a lot to process here. She's got an air about her of someone making judgment as if like, you know, a noble in court. Deciding the fate of someone beneath them.
I don't think it's what he would do, but I really want to be like, if you are unhappy with my service, I will end my life.
She seems unhappy with your service at first, but actually taking on Delvin's lie and the situation and everything that has sort of transpired and her shock and everything else, she seems to be coming to terms fairly quickly with it. She looks at you and says, I understand that you would only do what must be done. It is disconcerting to me that things can get so out of hand so quickly.
These are barbaric lands.
That they are. They are also strangely... open and welcoming in a way that I didn't think they could be. And I worry that with hasty actions, we may do the wrong thing in places we don't understand. We did not have enough context of those people or even this girl we follow. I only know we need to keep safe, and that you have done for me, so thank you for that.
Yes, mistress.
I would caution you not to shed blood unless it's explicitly commanded in future.
Very well.
She nods and walks off. It looked, as she approached you, like she was going to properly reprimand you. But then she sort of, you successfully steered that ship around. So well done.
And as she walked away, did she?
Yes, she went to follow along.
I, in that moment, look at Brick on my own and I say, I know this is impossible for you, but she is a child and she doesn't understand how the world works. Even if you think that she's your boss, and she is, I respect that, mate. But in Felton, it wasn't the kids making the orders. She's have to learn fast too. You're having to learn fast. You did the right thing.
I did what I thought best to protect her.
And the best bodyguards sometimes have to do things that the person they're protecting doesn't know about to best protect them.
Okay. And off you trudge through the scrub, very thick forest. And eventually, as night has almost fallen, you enter a small clearing. It doesn't seem like much at first, especially because your eyes are struggling to adjust, except for Bricks, who sees as if it's middle of the day. But it would actually entail taking your glasses off.
I was curious about that. Barrowin have like a little bit of better night sight, or is the barrows very well lit?
It's very well lit.
Cool.
Yeah, so they're basically Greydons who live in...
They've lived there for hundreds of years, though, so...
Yeah, the effects of what has happened to the cold, very different circumstances that have evolved in that way.
For any evolution to have taken place, it would have needed to be relevant to their survival. So if they have ample supplies to light the caves, there is no reason why they would have evolved, or the ones with better eyesight would have survived.
Yeah, so. Exactly. Okay, cool. So we enter a clearing, and it seems like it's fairly like insubstantial at first. You actually, it was really dense before you got into this area. But as you enter, she pulls out sort of and starts to light a little campfire and a little torch or whatever. Brick, you take your goggles off. These points of light that she's lighting are quite bright to you, but everything else is like super clear. Mm-hmm. So if you're like looking away from anything else, everyone else will have negatives in perception, but you're like sharp right now. This is actually your, you're built to, for this sort of
circumstance. The cheat sheet says I get plus one.
Mm-hmm. I want to try and look at his eyes.
Roll a perception check.
With negative, what did you say, sorry?
Negative one.
Negative one.
Yeah.
Two successes.
So, there was negative one dice. So you got two.
I got two successes.
Yeah. I'm going to say not with full clarity, but with that sort of your eyes are adjusting to the dark. It's almost like, you know, that fuzz in dark areas that you sort of see as your eyes are adjusting. It's a bit of that, but you do gauge that in the pale skin surrounding his eyes that are quite sunken, the eyes themselves are almost look entirely like just pupil, just black beads, in quite small and sunken in the back of the eyes. It's quite odd. You know when you see someone without their glasses and you always see them...
Like that weird... Is it like that weird chick from the Star Wars film, the like little prune lady with the tiny little black eyes behind her goggles?
A little bit. Something like that. Brick certainly looks a bit odd, but you're sort of averting...
I'd be looking out into the forest to try to make sure we're safe.
Cool. In fact, I might encourage you to make a bit of a security check. You could make a bodyguard check, you could do a survival check, whatever you prefer. But if you wanted to scope the area and make sure you deem it safe, now would be a good time. Happy to do a
vocation bodyguard check.
Vocation bodyguard, challenge level 3.
Hell yeah. Ooh yeah. 5.
Smashed it. I'm going to also let that double as a extremely well-performed perception check for the area immediately, not gauging a threat, but then also gauging threats. Catalina and Delvin, if you want to make a perception check, and then we'll sort of lay out the land in front of you.
Minus one, yeah.
Yes, perception minus one.
2.
Nope,
five for Catalina, the eagle-eyed.
That's
okay.
Me.
Oh,
bye.
She can see when you fart by the facial twitches.
Delvin gets the vibe pretty quickly. You know, it's really dimly lit. There's almost like canopies that have been set up. It's almost like it's been created as an exterior to be more of an interior, so that if it rains, it would still, there'd be some that gets through, but actually for the most part, it feels quite sheltered. There are some pelts and things that create actual proper sheltering and bedding. That sort of back into the opening of the mouth of a cave. Mm-hmm. Catalina notices that there's 3 wolves sleeping in the mouth of the cave. White, furred, sort of like wolves, like clumped up together and keeping each other warm. This is just coming home for Lilith. She's lying on a fire. She's like, she sort of mentioned she doesn't have much food. She was actually going to go, you know, trade to whatever, but like she hadn't been able to hunt before they attacked Churl, her tiger.
Mm-hmm.
Just making general conversation.
Is it a mountain lion or a tiger? There has been questions in Twitch.
It's a mountain lion.
Mountain lion.
Yeah, cool. Like a cougar, like a...
Is it black or is it...
It's what like a sandy.
Sandy-coloured little mountain lion thing.
Yeah. Grey sandy. It's. I wouldn't say it's one of our mountain lions. It would be one like... Native to
the
northern mountains of Great Owl.
If there's wolves and I've seen them, I'd be pretty on guard considering our last encounter with them.
They're not the same as normal wolves. There are certain breed that...
normal wolves means nothing to Brick. His first encounter...
Yeah, that's true. Okay. But you... I'm going to say through your very adept check, they seem not quite like pets, but certainly not combative.
Okay.
They seem in that space... Like, they're in their home as well. So they're going to protect the space as well. The falcon has sort of got a nest that it's nestled in, and Churl has sort of made itself comfortable near Lilith, who is now sitting by the fire. Catalina, with your really good perception check, aside from getting a real gauge for the area and noticing interesting trinkets and the layout in general as you sort of make small talk, you also get the really clear impression that you and Medela are actually the only ones she's interested in talking to or acknowledging. She's mm-hmm. kind of ignoring, if not outright untrusting, of the other two.
Yep. All right. No worries. I'll join her at the fire.
Yep.
And I just would like to get to know her a bit better, so I'll say to her, so where do you come from?
She, like, looks around her, like, yeah.
Well, surely you weren't born here, were you?
I don't remember a lot of my childhood. I'd rather not, to be honest. Hmm. What about you? You're from across the sea.
Correct. Yes, I'm from a place called Denisia.
Fair talk of that place when I infrequently travel to town. You're all very clever or something.
We prize knowledge above all else, really.
She sort of chuckles and says, well, I'm afraid you won't find a lot of that here, but hopefully a safe night's sleep. I thank you again for your protection. You're quite clever with that knife, at the very least. That I didn't expect.
As
good a throw as I've ever done. She, like, looks quite respectfully at you.
Hmm.
Roll a perception check.
Are you meant to be kicking me under the chair?
Yeah.
One, two,
four. Oh, that's a good roll. Yeah.
Always. Always a good roll from Catalina. Yeah.
She's blushing.
Oh.
Oh, my God.
Oh, cute. Hi, Delvin, I say to you.
I'm just slowly leaning closer. I'm like, you're mighty well-spoken for one that's grown up in the woods. Where'd you learn?
I grew up around town.
Right.
Well, in my childhood.
So these beasties then, they're going to leave us alone while we sleep?
Of course they are, unless I tell them otherwise.
She looks at you with a glint in her eye that sort of says, don't test me.
So you can communicate with animals?
What? She looks at you like, what are you talking about?
I kind of change the subject and say, I don't know how much you know, but I mean, the world's changing. There are people that can do incredible things. They're rare people. We met someone that was able to make nature just sprout from death, essentially. We've seen people float rocks.
She snorts like a laugh yeah. and back, and she's like, you foreigners. Strange.
I think if there was anyone that felt like they were a bit different, well, it might be reassuring to know that they're not alone. That's all.
Great. She has no idea what you're on about.
That's fine.
Yeah, she's just like, you guys have weird topics of conversation. She changes the subject. I don't have much to offer in the way of food. And she pulls out like this wooden box that seems to have been hastily tied to. Like, well, not hastily, but it's not like ornate construction. It's like, you know, vine twine and all this stuff. Mm. Like, it's a handmade box from the middle of the forest.
Mm.
But she opens it up and there's some berries, a little bit of dried out meat, some raisins and things like that. And it could feed her for like 2 or 3 days. She opens it up and she's like, I'm afraid there's not a lot I can spare. I don't know if you're traveling with food.
We we were robbed of our possessions, unfortunately, as we were leaving our town, so...
I would say Delvin has a bagged lunch.
I've got a delicious meal. I would have eaten that.
Oh,
now.
You know, yeah,
it's been a whole day. I've definitely scoffed that.
So I guess you might be fasting tonight. She says, I can spare of what I have if you're willing to help me hunt tomorrow morning to replenish my stores. I'm afraid there's not a lot I can offer. But if you were to be able to replace my bow at some point... I was going to head into town to trade. I'm afraid I don't want to go near town for some time. But I could go to the edge of the forest if you were to have it delivered to me. If there was something I could offer in exchange. I'm afraid I already owe you far too much.
I look over at Delvin and I say, well, lucky for you, you've got one of the best traders in your household. And I kind of like elbow Delvin a little bit.
She looks at Delvin skeptically and says, I'm not sure he would even know what the gauge of bow I'm after is. Do you know what makes a good weapon? Doesn't look like you've seen a day of combat in your life.
Can I make a merchant check to see if I would be able to?
This is going well.
Vocation for like barter or merchant vocation to like know the markets and know what
in
products.
In I
specifically Italian in regards to like a bow and
yeah,
and fighting.
What she's after? Okay, yeah. Take a roll.
Do you think that that's appropriate?
Yeah, and I'd say it seems to have been a special bow for her. So to have gauged what she lost and what she's looking for, I say challenge level 3.
Four successes.
Cool. So you do know the type of bow, the make, the, even the wood, and where they're known, but you also know, yeah, they sell those in I&I.
Delvin just, yeah, looks and says, like, well, you said like 100 pound or whatever. Yeah. He's just like, 100 pound hunting bow. Firing effective around 500 feet. You can mark something pretty well with that, I'd say. I know where you can get one in Iron Eye.
Okay, that would be useful to me.
I'm more than just a pretty face, you know.
Well, let's not get too hasty.
Yeah, that's what they all say. Delvin says, and then he gestures to the the bedded area, which I'm assuming is relatively small. Then he's just like, yeah. Well, I suppose the ladies will be taking that nice undercover spot then, eh?
She hesitantly, she pushes her box forward, all her food, says, it's yours and a place to stay for the night and my protection. I will help you hunt in the morning for food, for your travels, see you to the edge of the forest in exchange for your help getting a new bow.
I know.
I'm afraid that's all I can offer, but it is everything I have. And you can have my bed for the night. There's like some thicker furs and like this comfortable patch.
Does she drag that at everyone or just Delvin?
She's just sitting opposite Delvin and Catalina. But yeah. She says it at Delvin, who this is a barter. Mm-hmm. So I think she's leaving it up to assuming Delvin is the negotiator in this.
Yeah, sure.
We'll decide what to do with it.
Yep.
But she's just interested.
I'm in a destiny roll.
Yeah. What's this for? You got a 3. What was that for?
You like sleeping deal. In comfort.
I fall to my weaknesses, basically.
Okay. So a high
roll was me basically being able to detach myself from my vice. But in this deal, I, rather than putting anyone before me, basically make the deal, agree to it, and then be like, and that means I'm getting to sleep in the most comfortable spot in this whole bloody place. The yeah. best furs, the best protection, the best waterproofing.
Yeah.
And I'm just going to go there completely selfishly because okay. that's my weakness. That's my quirk of wealth. When it comes to the comforts of living, I only accept the finest that is available. Did you like that caveat?
Okay. She is sizing you up.
Mm-hmm.
And she's sort of, I just rolled 2 dice, FYI, I got 1 success. She chuckles and says, you seem like someone who likes to serve yourself, but forgive me. Sorry, I'm not used to company. I tend to say what's on my mind. That would be very much appreciated. I will be as hospitable as I can be. I am not used to company or guests, so forgive me if I'm rusty.
Do I pick up any of the vibes that I picked up between her and Kat?
No.
Okay. I'm just like, I can see when my company's not needed. I'm going to go to bed early, maybe, but...
Okay.
Have a lovely chat.
Good night.
And then I lean in close to Catalina and give a whisper. And softly say, for some reason, I feel like she's got a little of that special something as well. And you know what I mean. And then I
like, as I'm eating like a grape, I'm like,
And then I wander off.
Okay.
And then as I get comfortable for bed, and pull whatever sheets and blankets, I clutch my little fruit knife to my tum-tum and glance around at the wolves and stuff.
Amazing.
And then, actually, and then I say Medela and Brick to come sleep next to me.
Okay.
It's protection.
I'm like, I go like, is there enough space for another person to stay?
Maybe not Brick.
Yes, but, I'm thinking
but he may not choose to stay in there. You might be on guard at this point.
Yeah, look, I'd probably sit next to them and sleep lightly.
That's
yeah.
what I'm thinking is that there's probably enough space for Medela to stay in the comfy spot with yeah. me. And I'm like, Medela, come on. You know, yeah. you're a kid. You can sleep there. And then knowing internally that Brick's like, that means Brick will sit yeah. next to me and protect me from the wolves.
She looks exhausted and traumatized. So, yeah, yeah. she definitely like... sort of at your back, she sort of curls up and
cool.
falls asleep.
I hum some Barrowin songs to softly try and help her go to sleep.
And the fire crackling, the smell of smoke and berries. You all fall asleep in the middle of the forest, safe and sound.
Before she retires, but the others have gone, I want to gauge how much she knows about my home country, and does she know the divide between female and male?
Okay, so we'll role play that out. So I'm going to say, like, everyone's retired for bed. The fire is sort of has been crackling and now is sort of more embers. And she's standing at the entryway where she sort of led you through. She's sort of, like, looking out thoughtfully out at the forest. So you want to approach her?
Yeah, yeah. Sorry, I just had one last question before I head to bed for the night. Thank you, by the way.
No problem. You townsfolk and your questions.
So, do you get out very much?
She looks around. She says, does this constitute as out?
But if you haven't travelled any further than to Iron Eye or Bellbrook?
I used to roam the streets of such towns. A few different ones. None ever that I called home. My mother died when I was very young. In this forest, actually. But this forest has been my home since I was a teenager. The animals seem to be much more caring for people than people when you get to know them. She's patting Churl by her side as it purrs.
Their names, did you come up with them?
Did you come up with yours?
No, mine was given to me.
I suppose theirs must have been given to them.
Okay. Cool.
She's a wizard, Harry.
I say, I'm also a bit of a early riser, and would perhaps like somewhere to bathe. Is there somewhere nearby that would work? That's super private.
Bathe. Oh, yes. When I wash, and she sort of describes.
She's
got like some straw like in her hair, and she like just as she doesn't wash a lot.
Mm.
There is a pungent aroma, it's but it's a sort of a clean, sweaty smell.
That's all right. She wouldn't smell that bad after a while.
Yeah, when she
sort of thing where like she rub charcoal in it.
Yeah, people stop stinking once that bad stop. After a while.
Yeah. Yeah.
After like a couple of weeks.
Yeah, she doesn't seem to pay much attention to things like that. But she looks at you up and down like you're very well kempt and sort of chuckles and describes where she can go. She's, I can show you a place in the morning if you need privacy from the men.
Great. All right, I'll go to sleep.
Okay, off you go.
What? In my head, I just had that her being like nice, smooth skin, Fallout reference. She's just like a ghoul and is like, hi, smooth skin. Hey, you know what?
I think it's time to finish. But I think we should wrap up with you're having a lovely night's sleep. I think we don't get a lot of opportunities for a little bit of nighttime. How does everyone sleep? And it's an interesting scenario in which everyone is getting some sleep. So I want everyone to make a destiny roll.
Oh.
A two.
Ha.
You can smell her next to you all night. Darwin gets a 10.
I'm going to give you
a reroll.
You get a reroll.
What were you going to say?
I was going to give you an advantage. Reroll, pick the highest.
Okay.
Because you get the comfy spot.
17.
Yeah. 9 for Brick, and I'll roll for Mandela. She's in the comfy spot, so she gets the same thing. So 13. Okay, so she doesn't. You still get the comfy spot. But
Darwin is a little bit like me.
All of our characters are, aren't they? You end up finding like the. It starts off a little uncomfortable. You feel like a stick in the ground underneath and blah, blah, blah. But eventually, as you roll, eventually, like, you find where the body's position is meant to be, and it's actually really cush. It's pretty nice. So in the end, you actually sleep like a baby.
Hell yeah.
I'm going to say... roll a dice. One dice.
A 6. Okay,
cool. As you sleep, a comfortable sleep, you dream feeling, they're odd dreams, but there's a presence. There's a presence in your dreams that feels like that same sort of familiarity that you sensed throughout the day. And I'm going to say the next morning, you're going to wake up just that little bit more restored, that little bit more, a little bit less empty than that feeling of emptiness that occurred will have gone. Okay, Catalina. Let me just cut to something briefly. You toss and turn. You are the last to pick your sleep spot. Mm-hmm. I'm going to say Lilith is up all night. She just sort of wanders around. She doesn't seem all that fussed with when she sleeps. But you toss and turn, and the little sleep you get is quite fitful until eventually you do sleep. But with some weird disturbances, there's a voice that seems to be ringing in your head a little bit.
The shards of thunder stir at their sleep and shall shatter and awaken as the bonds of old.
And Brick just does. Roll for your meditative. Do your bodyguard check.
No, I was literally just doing a sleep.
Yeah, okay, cool. All right, and that's 9. We'll come back in the morning. Thank you all so much for watching. Most of all, thank you to our lovely, wait for it, patrons. That's right. Brie. Has it updated yet? Hang on a sec. Tell me if it's updated. Or do we manually need to update it?
We need to manually update it.
We need to manually update it. How do we manually update guys. It? How do we? Can you message Lockie for me? I don't have him on the Discord here. Sorry, guys. It's a little out of date, but thank you for your patron support. Happy birthday, Blue Cap High. I'm sure your birthday was quite a while away at this point. But the Dark Fox.
Professor X.
Earth Angels, Taran, Bree, Camembert.
Rain Eye.
Nick.
Tickle Duck.
AJ Macy with some pastrami and antipasto. antipasto.
I don't know how to say antipasto as Delphin.
All right. That concludes chapter 6. Our party is certainly becoming more and more familiar. Time seems to be longer in game than it actually is when you count the days you've passed as a group. You've been together like 3 days now, 4 days?
Like 4.
Feels like a month.
I know.
5? I think it's easy to forget
day
travel
1
days.
In the afternoon in the thing.
But it was like a 2-day journey both times. That's the thing.
No, it was 1 day to Fellbrook. It was 1 full day.
And then we spent 2 nights early. In.
You spent two nights. Yeah, so it was that one. So that's 2 and then 1 full day in.
This is day 5.
Yeah. It's day 4.
No.
Yeah. Day 4.
I think
we've
had
4 nights together.
I've only played 3 or 4 times, as far as I'm aware.
What's this?
In front of you guys. How many days?
How long the party's been together? I think it's been day 4, so you're on to day 5 tomorrow.
Yeah.
Anyway, all right. Thank you all so much for watching.
We've been together 2 weeks before then, though.
This has been. Yeah, that's true. So there's already a bit of familiarity there. But, all right.